When did you first hear about the Three Mile Island incident?
I think I heard about it that day on the news at noon as I was going home for lunch. As I recall, I heard he was listening to one of the news conferences that was being held.
Did you know that there was a reactor there before the incident?
Yes.
Did you realize how far away it was?
Approximately.
What did you think when you first heard that?
I don't recall having any particular striking thoughts.
You didn't view it as a serious situation or a crisis?
Potentially serious, but we have potentially serious incidents there every day.
Did you then seek out further information?
I didn't make any special effort, I don't think. I tried to listen to all of the news reports, and specifically listening to the people who I thought would probably have the best information, i.e. the people from the Nuclear Regulatory Commission, trying to use that for my source of information to relay on to patients.
Did you talk about it much with your family and friends and coworkers?
Naturally, that was a major topic of conversation during those days, just because it was in the news.
From all these conversations, did your attitude change at all?
You mean in terms of toward nuclear energy specifically, or
towards what was happening?
Life in general?
I think towards the event itself. Were you starting from your conversations to get more concerned?
Oh, I see what you mean in terms. Not really. No, I base my feelings and reactions pretty well on what I heard rather than what I was talking to other people about.
How did you feel about other people's reaction to the incident?
I thought there was very close to mass hysteria.
You followed the newspapers and the radio and TV. Do you remember any particular source? You mentioned the Nuclear Regulatory Commission was there.
Right. I was extremely upset with the handling of by the media. Stories were just completely blown out of proportion. I think we had a distinct advantage here, that we could listen directly to Mr. Denton and hear exactly what was being said at the news conferences, where people in other areas, other parts of the country, just, they had to depend on the news media. And the news media just picked up any little thing or any little statement, and I was extremely disappointed by the media.
What about the government? You mentioned Mr. Denton. How did you feel they handled things?
I thought Mr. Denton was the calm in the midst of the storm at the time, and I still do. I thought he handled himself very well in the way things have turned out since that time. Again, I think their information was not always exactly 100% correct, but he tried to be honest with people as much as he could.
How did you feel about the industry, Metropolitan Edison, and the way they handled things?
Well, I was a former Med-Ed customer. I think, again, as it has turned out, I think that they probably were not as honest as they could have been with the public. I don't see that as a big problem at all. It's not something I really fault them for, because any other company does exactly the same thing.
Other than Harold Denton, was there someone that you found especially reliable or whose word you trusted?
Well, I think out of the governor's office, Phil Scranton, I think, did a good job of trying to stay on top of things even in the early days before Denton really got here, because it was the weekend, as I recall, pretty well, until he got here and really got involved in things. And up until that time, I was depending pretty well on what was coming out of Mr. Scranton's office, since he was the liaison between the governor and everything else that was going on.
You said that the media disappointed you. Did you really mistrust them at that point, or is there something?
I guess maybe I sort of mistrusted the media for a long time.
Not just this incident.
Not just this incident. This just further. The media tends to I don't know if I'd say they manage the news, but they're very selective, I think, in the news coverage.
Did you feel that the people who were in charge there at TMI were in control of the situation?
Really had no way of knowing. It didn't appear to be at some times. But, I have a basic confidence, I think, in the Nuclear Regulatory Commission and seeing to it that I felt that they probably would have seen to it that there were safeguards set up and that that the men who, the technicians, the men who were actually involved that morning when it occurred, were probably as in control as they could be under the circumstances, considering what they were dealing with.
You feel like they're in control now?
I think so. They know what's going on. They have the situation in hand.
Were you worried about the situation?
I don't really think I would say I was worried at any point. No more so than worrying about Hurricane David that just went through. That's all.
Did you make any plans that were different from ones that you ordinarily would have?
No.
Did you change any of your ordinary routines?
No.
Was there a time when you thought about leaving the area?
No.
So you did not leave at all?
No. Okay.
What brought you to stay?
I didn't see any point in leaving. I thought there was more risk to leaving, and in fact, I think that's been borne out. There were more people probably killed in automobile accidents fleeing the area than would ever have been injured.
Was there anyone in your life that you were watching in order to decide what you would do?
No.
Did you have any mental pictures of what might have been happening at TMI?
I guess so. We all think in pictures, I think, rather than in phrases. But, as far as any mental pictures of a meltdown or an explosion of any kind, not really.
Did you think that anything that happened at TMI might have affected your health?
No.
In the future, do you think?
No, I really see no effect.
Were there other aspects of your life that might have been affected?
Yeah, the practice was affected because that weekend was just unbelievable in terms of the way patients were calling, and it got to the point where we finally turned on the recorder and said that if you're calling about TMI and whether you should leave the area, absolutely not. Our opinion is that you should not leave. If you're living in the Carlisle area. Because the phone calls got to the point where we couldn't handle routine office business.
If the worst had occurred, what do you think might have happened?
Well, I think, the worst probably that could have happened was a meltdown. There would have been some radiation exposure in the immediate area. But, again, I think the immediate area was evacuated as far as spreading radiation, over any broad area. I don't see how that could have occurred.
Were you ever concerned about the food or milk in the area?
Not really. Again, because of the levels that they were indicating that were being released were quite low. That's all I'm really concerned.
Did you ever picture any effects of radiation on life around you?
In general, sure. I deal with this all the time as an obstetrician. And this, of course, was what most of the questions that women had as they came to us for advice. We know that radiation does produce effects on human beings and on life forms in general. But we're exposed to radiation every day, most of which we have absolutely no control over. So I was aware of the possibility. responsibilities.
Did you ever think about your own death at that point?
No more so than I do any other time.
And what about that of others?
In terms of family, friends, in the immediate area, again, no. I think, I suppose I, you know, wondered about the men who were right there involved in the situation and was assuming and hoping that they were adequately protected and so on.
What do you suppose gave you the reassurance that you would survive?
Well, I guess it goes back to my basic philosophy of life, and some people would probably view it as a fatalistic attitude, which I don't at all. I live under the premise that God is in control of my life as well as the affairs of the world, and there's a verse in Romans that says that all things work together for good to those that love the Lord. Now, if that means, you know, my death, okay, I'm willing to accept that, right? Realizing that God is in control.
Did you think a lot about God during this incident?
Yeah, I don't think really, not much more than at other times. If I, the one way that I did think of it was being thankful that I had that, my trust in God to see us through any kind of a panic or anything that happened.
Did you find yourself praying at that time?
Sure, I always do.
No, I
don't think so.
You talked about your responsibilities as an obstetrician. Mm-hmm. Were there others that conflicted those with your family or any other things you feel you might be responsible for within the community?
You mean that conflicted with my responsibilities for the practice as an obstetrician? I don't think so, not really. Because, again, as I say, I saw no reason to leave myself. I saw no reason to see my family leave. So I don't think there were any real conflicts there.
Your family or your wife never felt anxious to leave the area?
Well, I don't think so. She didn't express any concern.
Did you have things to do which you otherwise would not have had to do, other than making tape recordings and answering a lot of phone calls?
I think that was probably the main thing, was the reassuring, trying to reassure patients.
Did patients actually come in to be seen, or was it mostly over the phone?
No, we had patients who called in insisting that they absolutely had to be seen because they were leaving the area and they wanted to be seen before they left. We couldn't stop them from coming in. You know, if they called in first, we'd say, look, you know, don't get so uptight, because there's at this point really no reason to, and you're taking a bigger risk by leaving than by staying. And but we couldn't talk some of them out. So yeah, we did have patients coming into the office.
What about anyone who might have been in labor or close to labor?
Yeah,
we had patients
actually, and this well, it surprised me a little bit, but not too much, I guess. We delivered at least one patient from Harrisburg Hospital. I think it was Harrisburg, one of the hospitals, whose doctor had left, and he told her to go somewhere else to be delivered. I couldn't understand that, you know, but that was his choice. And so yeah, we did have, as I recall, there was one patient that we delivered under those circumstances, never having seen her before.
How was she? Was she pretty unnerved, I guess, by the fact
when she
that
first arrived, Ivan
abandoned her?
Yeah, she came here in the middle of the night when Ivan was on call, and then I ended up delivering her, I think. And I guess when she first got here, she was a little upset, but you know, she had a thoroughly enjoyable experience, I think, from what we heard from her, and she was very grateful for what we were able to do for her, and I'm glad we could help her out. Her husband was with her, too. Very nice Lamont.
Did you have any ideas at the time about how it would be best to behave in this kind of a situation?
Yeah, I thought the best thing to do was try to stay as calm as possible to keep other people from panicking.
So you did behave this way?
I tried.
Without any difficulty?
No, I didn't feel that.
When it happened, was there anything in the way of past experience or past events that came to mind?
I don't recall any particular. So.
Nothing like that had ever happened to you before or in history?
Well, not... I knew that there had been nuclear, quote, accidents, unquote, involved with power plants. I knew that there had been exposures and even, the deaths that occurred in the construction of the power plants were not really related to radiation at all. They were other types of accidents that occur in any kind of construction. Sure, you think of Nagasaki and Hiroshima, but I knew the whole time that could not occur here because it's a completely, totally different type of setup. The nuclear fuel is... You're not going to have a nuclear explosion with this kind of an accident. And so, you think of them because other people are talking about it and convinced it's going to happen, but no, I don't think other than that.
Did you think that this incident was more or less frightening than, say, a war or a hurricane or a flood?
Oh, I think probably less, to me at least. Maybe because I wasn't as closely involved. If I'd have been right there, living 2 miles from Three Mile Island, I'm sure I probably would have had a different perspective. But living here in Carlisle, 25 miles away, I suspect that a hurricane and floods would have been much more frightening to me than what occurred here.
Were there any movies or TV shows that came into your mind?
That I had seen in the past? Everybody was talking about the China Syndrome. I haven't seen it and probably won't. But none that I had seen.
What about any stories or books that you might have read?
Particularly that I recall.
Did you find yourself singing any songs?
No more so than usual.
Are you a singer? Or
I do some singing now.
At the time, did you have any daydreams that you remember?
No, not that I recall.
What about any nighttime sleeping dreams?
No.
Did you feel that your sleep was disturbed in any way?
No.
Because once, I guess, you got the recording going, then that eliminated some of the...
Pretty well so, yeah. Most people didn't call at night. They would call during the day.
What changes happened to the people around you during the incident?
Well, most of the people that I was... close to family and people in the practice and so on. Yeah, there was a little bit more tension, I guess, an uncertainty. People in the community, you saw a lot of uncertainty and tension and outright fear, I think.
Do you feel that it changed anyone in a lasting way?
I suspect that there are people, yeah, whom it affected that way. None of my acquaintances, really, I don't think.
Not yourself?
Not myself. I don't think it was changed.
No. Did you hear any jokes about the radiation of Three Mile Island?
Oh, yeah, the beautiful one was Wade Seifert's joke. Wade's a prof in anthropology at Dickinson. He wrote a letter to... the president of Hershey Foods Corporation. thought they ought to make a chocolate candy bar in the form of a mushroom cloud. I said, what are you going to call it?
Oh, my goodness.
I don't remember what he had a name, but he even had a name, a very appropriate name picked out for it. But it was so much like Wade, you know, that was the only one that I remember.
Did you see any of the posters or graffiti on T-shirts?
Oh, yeah, we saw that on TV, of course, and the media, again, got a lot of coverage out of that. The I Survived, TMI, I'm from Harrisburg, that sort of thing.
If it was meant to be funny, did you laugh?
Yeah, I guess. I don't remember.
Do you remember passing on the information to anyone else about some of these jokes or funny things?
I probably did. I don't recall specifically relating it to family and acquaintances, friends.
Why do you think there was so much joking going on?
I think joking is one way that people have of, you know, when they're tense and uptight, it's one way they have of relieving their tension. It's also a way of putting on a front, you know, trying to give the impression that you're not really as uptight and tense as you really are, and that you don't want to admit to yourself. Maybe.
Can you remember any joking from other crises? Let me give examples like the Kennedy assassinations or Guyana, Jonestown.
Right offhand, I think, you know, at the time of Jonestown, there were a few that I heard, which I didn't think were in very good taste. I don't even remember what they were. Some of the other things, I can remember we were in Baltimore when Hurricane Agnes went through there, and there was a lot of flooding, a lot of property damage and so on. Then there was some joking, but again, I don't recall specific anecdotes.
Do you feel that you've developed an opinion about nuclear energy?
Well, I think I had one before. I don't think it has changed any. I don't think this is, you know, nuclear energy, basically. I think it's necessary. I think we're going to have to use it. We don't have much choice unless we're going to completely, radically change our lifestyle in America, which I don't think, you know, knowing Americans, I don't think we're going to do that. I think nuclear energy can be safe. If there was anything that changed with this, it gave me two impressions. I think number one is that indeed there are safeguards there. Okay. There are built-in safety systems. But the number two, they do fail sometimes, and maybe we need to build in a few more. But as far as the use of nuclear energy, I think it is totally, completely unrealistic at this point in time to say that nuclear energy cannot be used or should not be used for energy in America. Thousands more people have been killed mining coal in explosions of gasoline tank trucks, in automobile accidents. I think what happened in Gettysburg a couple of weeks before that, when the truck loaded with phosphorus caught fire, was potentially just as dangerous a situation in terms of loss of life. But yet these things happen every day, and their trains go through Carlisle, that if there were an accident, if somebody wanted to plant a couple of sticks of dynamite under one tank car, they could wipe out half of Carlisle. People don't realize this.
Because the media
doesn't give it the attention. That's right. And, you know, just a couple of weeks later, a train derailed in Florida. And they had to evacuate, you know, how many thousands of people because of the train wreck. that was on the front page, I think, one day, hit the media, you know, they mentioned it maybe 2-3 days, and then that's it. So, you know, I really see nuclear energy as, yes, a very viable alternative.
Just briefly, earlier you mentioned that your faith was the one thing probably that kept you as optimistic as you were throughout this. Did you ever have any biblical stories or events come to mind other than the quote you gave me from Romans about how God will take care of your life?
Well, yeah, I don't recall specifically thinking about a number of these stories. But there are many instances of where God has taken care of His people, you know, in the face of insurmountable odds, so to speak. You know, Daniel in the lion's den, obviously, is one of the stories that comes to mind. The three friends of Daniel's that were thrown into the blazing furnace lived to tell about it. Those are all episodes where that strengthens my belief that God wants to see us through even a nuclear war. He can. He's got the capability of doing it. He's got the power and strength. But at the same time, if He sees fit to allow, you know, the United States, whatever, to be wiped out by nuclear war, so be it. I know where I'm going after that. Okay. And have that confidence. So
the idea of Satan or the last judgment, the end of the world, do any of those things, do they enter your thinking?
Again, I don't think any more so than they do at any other time. You know, I believe very much in all of those. And I believe, yes, there is going to be a last judgment. But I've got the confidence that when that judgment comes, I've got the blood of Christ to claim. And that's all that matters to me.
Did you or do you now consider the incident at Three Mile Island as related in any way to God and His instructing or disciplining of mankind?
Well, again, I guess it goes back to my basic view of the world and God's control. A lot of things, I think, are in the permissive will of God. In other words, He allows things to happen which may not be, you know, in His plan. He allows them to happen for several reasons. Number one, God never violates the will of man. I mean, man can be just as rebellious as he wants and spit in God's face, and God will take it. He says so. He'll do that. Because that's the way He is. The story of Job, for instance, I think, is one where God may not have willed it that Job lose all of his possessions, lose his entire family, come down with boils, and be just as miserable as could be. But yet He allowed it to happen because for various reasons. The same thing, I think, can be said here. God allows things to happen for different reasons. Why TMI happened, why God allowed TMI to occur, I don't know. I don't know why He allows Hurricane David to hit Santo Domingo and kill thousands of people. I don't understand those things completely. Those are what we call, you know, something like the hurricane is a natural, we term them natural disasters. They occur because that's the way our world has been created and set up. But those things do occur. There are other things that occur through the disobedience of man. and because of man's inhumanity to me. I don't understand why things like Uganda for the last 7 years has to occur. But I think that's again a situation where the evil that is present in the world is allowed to continue, because God will not violate man's will. This is my concept of God. God could, if he wanted, but he has put that limit upon himself. So he said that, you know, if man says no to me, I won't force him.
You said that you go to the Brethren in Christ Church over that weekend. Were you at a service there?
Regular services, yeah.
That's on Sunday.
Yeah.
Did anybody speak about TMI?
It was mentioned, yeah, and again in this same context, that praise the Lord, we've got something that we can hang on to, something that is a stable force in the midst of everything else that is going on. And we know that regardless of what happens, God's still going to be in control.
Was it your minister who...
I think it was Pastor Hope, or it may have been Pastor Winger. I don't recall which one specifically, but I remember that.
Discussion.
Yeah, but it was, you know, just in terms of the announcements. And there were a number of people who had left the area. There weren't as many people in the service.
Did that attendance at the service change your thoughts or feelings about the problem?
I realized how much more, I realized more, again, I guess, how much people were afraid and were I guess I didn't realize before how many people were leaving the area.
Was there anything in the service that made you feel different?
Not particularly. It was just our regular Sunday morning service, and we really didn't do anything differently.
Is it kind of reassuring, I guess, to hear those same thoughts that you have? What does your own faith say about the rightness or wrongness of man's desire to use and control atomic power?
Okay. Read that again for me, Terry. Yeah. I'm going to get that
down. First time I've read this one. What does your own faith say about the rightness or wrongness of man's desire to use and control atomic power?
Well, I don't think it speaks specifically to the rightness or wrongness of atomic power. A lot, of course... I see rightness and wrongness as motivation. The rightness and wrongness of something basically being a person's motivation behind it. The Bible doesn't speak specifically to atomic power. There are some theologians and scholars who think that references are made to atomic power in the Bible and to nuclear explosions and so on. But again, I don't think there's any rightness or wrongness that can be attached to that. The use that is made of it, can be used for good, it can be used for evil. Radiation therapy for cancer patients, I don't think anybody would argue that that's been evil or bad. Diagnostic purposes, many of the tests that we rely on heavily in medicine, employ nuclear energy and radiation. X-rays, of course, that's a form of radiation. At the same time, obviously, it can be used for evil. There's no question about that. Like everybody recognizes that. And I don't view TMI as basically either good or evil. Okay. I don't view the power plant there basically good or evil.
Do you feel like religious persons or institutions should take a public stand for or against the human development and use of atomic power?
No, not really. Again, for the same reasons.
Is there anything else that you would like to add about all of this?
I don't think so. I think I covered the one thing that I, as I mentioned before, that really disappointed me in the whole thing, was the way that I felt that the news media really did not handle it the way it should have been handled. But as I say, I become a little bit cynical about the media anyway.